Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Alkem Laboratories, hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
4Q FY22 earnings call of Alkem Laboratories. From the management side, we have Mr. Sandeep Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Dubey, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Ghare, President, International Business, Mr. Yogesh Kaushal, President, Chronic Division, and Gagan Borana from Investor Relations. Over to you, Gagan, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Tushar. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our Q4 FY22 and full year FY22 earnings call. Earlier during the day, we have released our financial results and investor presentation, and the same are also posted on our website. Hope you have had a chance to look at it. To discuss the business performance and outlook going forward, we have on this call the senior management team of Alkem. Before I proceed to this call, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and the call transcript will be made available on our website as well. I would also like to add that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, and the same must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. After the end of this call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Singh to present the key highlights of the quarter and the year gone by and strategy going forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Gagan. Good afternoon, everyone. Starting with the financial performance for the quarter, revenues from operation grew by 13.3% year-on-year, driven by healthy performance in India business, which registered a year-on-year growth of 16.7%. U.S. business was almost flat year-on-year as we tried to offset the significant pricing pressure through our new product launches. Other international business did well during the quarter with year-on-year growth of 35.3%, with our key markets leading the growth. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 13.6%, impacted by higher raw material prices, increase in freight cost, and additional manpower as we expand in new therapies. During the quarter, we had an exceptional item of rupees 50 crore debit on account of fair value of investment and income tax of earlier years, 91 crore due to disallowance of marketing expenses in light of the recent legal pronouncement, which suppressed our net profit for the quarter. Talking about our India business, it registered a secondary sales growth of about 15% year-on-year during the quarter and about 28% for the full year. This was about 1.5 times the IPM growth. This outperformance was majorly driven by strong volume growth, partially helped by COVID-19 tailwinds in acute therapy areas of anti-infectives, vitamin, minerals, nutrients, pain management, and gastrointestinal. Most of our mega brands continue to outperform in their respective markets, thereby maintaining their lead positions. Our chronic portfolio also delivered a market-beating performance for the financial year, growing at almost 2 times the market growth rate. Our trade generic business, despite the high base of last year, posted a strong performance. Our recently launched Pulmocare division, catering to respiratory segment, saw an encouraging start with growth rate higher than the therapy growth rate. Moving on to international business, our U.S. business ended the financial year with sales of $318 million, which was down 4% year-on-year. While we had good number of new product launches during the year, some of which had limited competition, but significant pricing pressure completely offset the impact of new product launches. During the year, we filed 14 ANDAs with the U.S. FDA and received 21 approvals. We now have over 160 ANDAs filed with the U.S. FDA, with nearly half of them yet to be commercialized. Apart from the U.S., other international markets delivered a robust year-on-year growth of 35% during the year, with healthy performance in the markets of Australia and Chile. Talking about Enzene, a biotech subsidiary, it has been a good year for them with three product launches in India and onboarding of multiple companies for their CDMO services. Also during the year, Enzene signed several out-licensing agreements with some of the leading international companies to develop and commercialize products in key markets across the globe. The company has also started global clinical trials on selected products to launch them in regulated markets starting to 2025. In terms of regulatory inspections, all the manufacturing facilities supplying to the US are having an EIR as on date. A manufacturing facility at Indore is awaiting pre-approval inspection by US FDA. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Seon Mukherjee with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and good evening. So one question on the cost pressure that you have mentioned. So raw material as a percentage of sales increased materially. You had talked about it earlier also. It's on a higher side. So how should we think about, you know, freight and raw material costs going into the next couple of quarters? And, you know, what is driving them and any trend that you would like to highlight at this point? Are things coming down or still are going up from the current levels?
Yeah, Sain, Rajesh Dubey here. In fact, in our last earnings call, also we discussed on this. Definitely enhanced cost procurement, whatever we have done. As I said in my last call also, partially it was consumed earlier in quarter three, but mainly consumption and sale of those consumed items. It has happened not completely for this quarter also, but definitely for next quarter it is going to be. So one good thing now, this material prices, it has started showing softening trend, and that's a good thing happening. But whatever material we have procured, ultimately we are going to consume it. So and freight also, as you rightly said, both domestically as well as for our international freight, we can witness sharp increases there, and particularly in rates for our international freight. So both this is going to have impact going forward. And as we indicated last time also, we have taken so many measures to address this issue because you rightly said it's a substantial increase. But we feel somewhere around 150 basis point to 170 basis point, it will be having impact on our gross margin.
Sir, just to be clear, you already have an impact in Q4. On top of it, you think there can be 150, 170 basis point more, you think?
Yeah.
Which we'll see in the subsequent quarters in Q1 and Q2?
Yeah, exactly, Sayan. I wanted to communicate that only. In fact, whatever procurement it has happened, partially we consumed in quarter four, and but major portion we are going to consume in quarter one of this year. It may be initial period of quarter two also.
And back compared to last year.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So, in fact, if you recollect October onward, material prices it started showing upward indication, and November, February, and then December, it was on its peak, and then scarcity of or availability was also concerned. So we accumulated some higher inventory, and most of the pharma companies they did. So whatever consumed, this high cost material consumed, so wherever sale is happening, it will be having impact on gross margin. See, material prices, it has not come to its normal. It has started showing indication coming down.
So, Dubiji, sorry. So, if I can say, and please, this 150 basis point is an impact compared to last year in quarter one.
Yeah.
And going forward.
Yes.
In the year.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So, this is quarter on quarter, sorry, year on year is what you are indicating.
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
One of last year.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And this other question, you know, on the international business, especially non-US, we have seen some good traction. If you can throw some light, you mentioned Australia, Chile doing well. So what is exactly happening? Why we are seeing this step jump this year? And how should we think about this business going forward?
Yeah, Sai and Amit here. Yes, we talked about it in the last couple of calls, and in fact, you were one of the ones who said that we've seen a, you know, business increase and also regularity. So, you know, it's not really a change in strategy. It is very much the same market that we've been doing for a few years now. So we've not really added anything material. I guess the performance, higher performance is directly proportional to some new launches that we did in these markets. And the price erosion in these markets has not been as high as has been in the U.S. There is deflation, of course, in every market, but not at the same levels. So those two combined things, now that we've also generated some scale, has resulted into this kind of a growth. We'll continue looking at these markets. We'll continue focusing on them for future. And we are obviously hoping that we'll continue doing this performance.
So you expect double-digit kind of growth to sustain in these markets?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, and I'll join back the queue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Chirag Dagli. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how many products are we selling currently in the U.S. market, and how many of these are... you know, yet to reach peak potential?
We currently sell about 85 ANDAs. The only ones where which haven't reached its full potential will probably be about 15. And the reason for that is some of those we may not be competitive, so we've not reached the levels that we are expected to reach. And some of them may be recent launches. So it takes time, a couple of quarters at least, if not more, before we reach the desired market share levels.
Understood, sir. And sir, given that we had very poor profitability in the US at a PBT level, you know, before FY22 as well, in FY22, would it be fair to say that at the PBT level, US is not contributing, probably at losses at a PBT level?
So we don't split by our profits by market. So I'm not sure, Chirag, where you picked up your question. But all I can tell you is several quarters back, we had clearly guided that we are well beyond the break-even point for US, and we are certainly, we have not slipped back into red.
At the PBT level, sir?
At the PBT level, that's correct.
Understood. So we are still profitable in the US at the PBT level?
Very much, very much. US contributes to more than, you know, 25% of our revenues. We cannot have afford a market with losses at that level.
Understood, sir. Understood. And just one more question, if I can. Can you split the India business into acute, branded, chronic, and trade generics, sir, for the full year?
Okay, so if you split the India bucket, so first is 22% is trade generic. Remaining 78%, 85% is acute, and 15% is chronic.
Understood. Alrighty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Prakash Agarwal with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My question is on the India business. So I don't know if you already shared, but given that we are, you know, heading on a strong base of last year, Are we giving any guidance on the India growth so that we have clarity?
Yeah, Prakash. So I think we maintain what we always said. I think we will have double-digit growth this year in spite of coming on a strong base. And if you want to throw some, I mean, you want me to like any specific thing, Prakash?
Yes, sir, that will be, yes, sir. So the growth, you had a very high growth, especially in the first half due to, you know, the second wave.
Correct.
So acute was very heavy and we have an acute heavy portfolio.
True.
How do we plan to have double-digit growth? You know, if you could split volume, pricing, I understand there will be some pricing gain also.
Before the split,
but,
yeah, got it, Prakash.
Yeah, you want to highlight.
Got it. So before the split of, you know, how the growth would come, I'd just like to add that we have added 500 people in quarter four of last year, you know, to rebalance our portfolio and go for growth. Apart from that, you know, we price increase would be higher this year compared to the previous year. 7% of 6 to 7% would be price rise. New introduction would be around 3%, and volume growth is between 3 to 4% to 5. Let's say 3 to 5. That's how the split would be. So we feel confident that we will cross double digit growth this year as well.
Okay, so one is, I understand, addition of people, and secondly, so which will also lead to some volume growth, and the second lever is the price.
Price is a big lever this year, yes, around 7%.
Yeah, got it. And with 12-13% India growth, and you are guiding for a margin cut due to the cost increase, but won't it be, you know, operating leverage should play out because India being more profitable, etc., it should flow down to the EBITDA also, isn't it?
No, I think, see, you have to understand that RM prices have really gone up, Prakash, and we are kind of investing in biosimilars and things like that. So, operating leverage will come in, but they not offset all the price increases which we have had this year.
Understood. And the R&D run rate for the quarter is exceptionally high. Is this the new quarter base, given that you are going into this biosimilar, etc., or how should we think about a full year run rate?
Whatever guidance we have given, we stick to that. From this quarter, I don't think so. It's exceptionally high. We have hit around 6.4. Okay, no. So we'll stick to around 5.5 to between 6 next year.
Okay, 5.5 to 6. And last one is on the cash. So we are continuing to see good cash generation.
Yes.
In the past, we have been very, you know, conservative or conscious of any acquisitions. What is the thought process now on that?
So we continue to be the same, sir. DNA has not changed. We are conservative. We'll do what we know to do best. And so no large acquisition plans, Prakash Bhai.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rashmi Sancheti with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, again on the gross margin front, can you break it up, like, you know, how much impact was just from the high input cost and also from the US price erosion?
Yeah, so if we talk on, I think, Rashmi, you are talking for 21-22. So in 21-22, right now, in quarter four particularly, so NRV, it has impacted by 1.6-1.7%, and equivalent was impact of cost also, enhanced material cost.
So you're saying 1.6 to 1.7% from the high raw mat cost, and equivalent to that, at least around 1.7% from the price erosion.
Yes.
Okay. And what is the outlook on the US price erosion at the company level? Are we seeing any normalization? I mean, for full year, how much was it and how much are we expecting in FY23?
Full year last year, price erosion in US for us, for our portfolio, was lower double digits, about 11 to 12%.
Okay.
We are not expecting it to be at that levels. We are expecting it to be in single digits, but higher single digits.
Okay. And sir, on R&D, like you mentioned that, you know, we would be spending 5.5%-6%. Can you let us know, like, you know, how much would be catering to the U.S. and how much it would be catering to the international markets or Indian markets?
I think 90% is for the U.S., ma'am.
90% is for the U.S. only. Okay, and that would be more into biosimilars and all.
No. I mean, not more into biosimilars. Biosimilars have started like this year and going forward. But no, large part is not into biosimilars. Biosimilars is certainly a part of it.
Okay. And so my last question again on India. Sir, in trade generic segment, which therapies, you know, are we focusing? Is it similar to branded generic space? The products are similar or, you know, it's a complete different products set that we are selling it in the trade generic segment?
So trade generics, we are not focusing on any therapy. Just by inherent strength and Alkem brand name, we get a large push in acute and semi-chronic and things like that. So we're not focusing on any therapy areas, ma'am, because this is a different ball game.
Okay, you mean to say that we are more again acute focused and some part comes from the subchronic.
Yes.
That is what I wanted to know.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai with HSBC Securities and Capital Markets India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is again on margins. So you mentioned we obviously are seeing impact of higher input cost on gross margins and all. So going ahead, how should we look at margins at the EBITDA level for FY 2023?
So whatever hit we are going to have in at gross margin level, I think it is going to pass on to EBITDA also. So we estimate somewhere between 150-175 basis points for yearly basis. That's our estimate. And it's going to give impact in our EBITDA.
Okay. So around 150-170 basis point hit on EBITDA level also. But on a steady state, what margin we should be looking at? Around 21-22%?
What EBITDA margin you are referring?
Yeah. So I'm saying this year obviously we'll have some impact of this higher input cost. But on a steady level, what should be the EBITDA margin we should consider?
See, this time we have 19.3%. So take heat of 150 basis point here. So I think we'll be somewhere close to 18% kind of.
Okay.
So we stabilize at FY 23. Thereafter, we look to improve from FY 24 onwards. Hopefully, the, you know, environment, inflationary environment, you know, eases off a little bit.
Okay, sure. My next question is on India business. So you said you added around 500 people for the new division. So can you update us on the current MR headcount and what is the productivity level across acute and chronic segments?
Yeah, so our total MR count is around 1,000. Out of this,
sorry, sir, how much?
10,000.
Okay.
Presentative strength, yeah. And the split is of 15% in chronic and rest in acute.
Okay, and how about the productivity levels, sir, in terms of PCPM?
Yeah, so broadly, I would say acute is around 6 lakhs. Chronic is 3 to 3.25.
Okay. And my last question will be your thoughts on biosimilar business. How do you see it scaling over next 3 to 5 years? And what kind of further investment are you looking here?
So this is the first, you know. So I think next years we could hit a revenue of, say, around 250 crore. But the big growth will come when we launch it in international regulated markets like U.S. and Europe. And that is still like 3 to 4 years away. We have invested already, say, 700 crores. And every year we might invest another, say, 100 crore for India and things like that.
Okay. So around 100 crore kind of investment every year you are emphasizing at this point of time. Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nithya Balasubramaniam with Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So on trade generics, I think in the last year alone, we have seen several companies join the fray. Some of them, other large, your peers and other large pharma companies. So given that there is now increased competition, how do you see this impacting your market share and rank? And a related question around, is this likely to open up new markets or is it more likely to cannibalize existing branded generic sales?
So see, competitors will enter, but as I remember a couple of meetings before, our MD answered this, Sandeep Singh, very clearly, that see, it's not that simple. You know, generic also has a very strong connect and relationship building with supply chain network, right from, you know, your production unit till your depots and distribution network, stockists, so all that takes time. So I think that over a period of last decade or so, Alkem has built a very strong equity on that front. So while competitors will come and they will find some way to get some share, but Alkem has a very strong presence there. So that's what's the next question?
The second one was, as you see more players enter, yeah. Do you see the market itself expanding or cannibalizing existing branded generic markets?
The answers are less likely because India still has, you know, a reach of medicine is still not beyond 40 to 45% population. So any and everyone has a space to create their own market. So it won't disturb the current flow of Alkem or anyone. Yeah. Everyone can make a space here.
Got it. My next one was actually on the U.S. So if you see, if this high single-digit kind of price erosion sustains, and based on your outlook for how much new launches could add, what sort of a growth are you envisaging in maybe the next 2-3 years?
For the immediate year, we had, you know, talked about a double-digit growth, a lower double-digit growth. Sitting only in the second month of the fiscal year, we are very much sticking to that. It's a challenge, but we certainly are, that's the kind of growth that we are estimating. Going forward, obviously, we'll continue to look to remain on that growth trajectory. Our base will increase, obviously, so that will bring its own set of challenges, but that's what we are looking at. So around 10 to 12% is what we are looking at.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria with Edelweiss. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. So, Sandeep, can you maybe, you know, share with us what are some of the volume growth levers in the India market? Because from the outside, it seems that out of the four biggest therapies, the two big ones, gastro and vitamins, you know, there could be some volume pressure this year. You know, because obviously you had a phenomenal FY22. So I'm just wondering which other therapies or brands in your view will pick up the slack?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I would add anti-infective to that as well because that also had a high base last year. But, you know, we will have the volume growth is around 3 to 4% or 5 at best. So it's not unreachable because we have added people in the last few years and we will be getting market share, which we have already always got. So even if you look at our market share of the last year, there has been a 0.3% increase in the market share if you look at us vis-a-vis the IPM. So I think it's just good, aggressive manpower addition we have done. We have entered the respiratory therapy, which is a new area. There itself, we see some growth. And so the new areas for us are firing up. And chronic segment is not as big as acute, but that's also not small now. So there we'll continue to grow by good double-digit volume. So therefore, we feel confident that those volume levers will work.
Sure, thanks for this. My second question is on the U.S. business. So while I understand you had double-digit price erosion in the U.S. this year, you also had a couple of interesting launches, you know, Duexis, Apriso, and so on. So just want to understand how the U.S. margins have moved in FY22 and how do you see the margins moving in FY23 maybe qualitatively if you can give us some comments.
So, Kunal, we don't disclose our business segment margins, unfortunately, so I won't be able to answer that question. But we did answer, several quarters back, several years back actually, and I answered earlier today that we are well beyond the break-even point many years ago, and, you know, we have no intention of going into red.
Sure, but qualitatively, maybe, you know, whether you expect the margins to be, you know, higher or you go up or maybe, you know, go down before they can go up.
Right. So year on year, our margins have remained fairly steady is what I would say. Our base business has obviously has seen a large price erosion last year, but some new launches, exactly the ones that you mentioned and even otherwise, have certainly helped us. Our, new business contribution last year was one of the highest in all the fiscals, because of which we could actually sustain a small degrowth instead of a larger degrowth in the business. The base business certainly degrew by a lot because of price erosion and in some cases even loss of market share. So that certainly helped. And going forward, we are hopeful with more contribution coming from new launches. New launches traditionally come at a better margin profile. So that certainly will, help us to improve our margins.
Thanks for this. And if I can just squeeze in one more. So while I understand that below the COGS line, you may not have a lot of room, this year because of increasing trade cost and all. But in general, maybe over a 2 or 3 year period, what kind of cost, optimization can we expect?
COGS optimization.
So
I think our margin it is in the range of somewhere between 60 to 62% kind of. Yes, this year because of below gross margin, I think more or less whatever trend we had, we are going to have operating leverage is going to flow. But there are a few things having inflation impact also, and that is bound to happen. For example, distribution cost, freight. But we do have some levers, and cost optimization all across India, wherever we see opportunity, we are working on that, including manufacturing and other, including optimization at our R&D facilities, distribution, all across. So we have some levers, and we have identified those. We'll be working towards it. Otherwise, it is very difficult to have objective of adding to EBITDA margin, even though 50 to 100 basis point, but that's a tough task.
Yes.
We have taken, and we'll be working towards it.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash Khanna with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, good evening, team. So my first question is, I wanted to understand more on Alkem's long to medium term strategy on the chronic side of the business. So we've outperformed in the acute side. We have also outperformed in the chronic side. But I wanted to understand more on how do we see a chronic franchise 3 to 5 years down the line, since competitive intensity might be a little higher on this side. So how are we planning to execute consistently on the chronic side?
I think 2-3 areas which are clearly defined by chronic. One is, our productivity is still average. So compared to within company, we are at 3 lakhs. So we should be looking at how do we compete within the organization and raise the productivity, because the prescriber base is still, around at average level. So even if I double the prescriber base in next 2 to 3 years, I should be able to increase my productivity. So first is productivity. Second, of course, is the main therapies which dominate chronic is cardiac and diabeto. So on a diabeto front, we have a slightly sore throat. So on a diabetic front, we have a very rich pipeline of new products, and these can be a blockbusters. Like, we have launched
combinations of DEPA and Brilda. We are doing very good on dapagliflozin, Sita DEPA. So all these are molecules which are worth around 300 to 500 crores in 2 to 3 years time. So right now we should be around close to 1,000 crores in next year, and we look at that around 4 year times can we double the base and reach around 2,000 crores.
So you said 1,000 to 2,000 crores in 3 to 4 years time, right?
Exactly. 4 years time.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. That was helpful. And second was actually again on the margin. So before this year, the understanding was that we would improve the margins by 50 to 100 basis points year over year. But now FY23, we've guided for 18%. So post that, should we expect 100 basis points consistent improvement in the margin?
Yes, 50 to 100, we said that, yes. So you chose the higher end, but we maintained 50 to 100. Yes.
Okay, so 50 to 100 decline this year, I mean the coming year, and then we would be going up.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, that's helpful. And one last question, if I may. So I just wanted to understand from a medium to long-term time frame, capital allocation priorities, like which geographies or where are we planning to, you know, invest a lot of money?
I think so in the medium term, the shorter medium term, nothing is changing. So the geographies are going to be India and US and some key other ROW markets. And where you want to allocate, I think biosimilars is the new frontier. Nothing other than that right now.
Okay, all got it. So no major capex lined up?
Capex, no, no.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dino Pratiparambil with Incred Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi.
Go ahead, Dino.
Yeah, hello. Most of my questions have been answered. Thanks. Just a clarification on tax rate, if you could give some guidance for FY23 and if not exact, at least some directional guidance over the next 3 to 5 years, how the tax rate is likely to move.
Yeah, for the next 2 years, as per our estimate, tax is going to be somewhere between 11% to 14% kind of. Going forward, I think since our plants, they will come out of ADIE, and then this I'm talking for 26-27 onwards. At that time, we'll give fresh guidance. But for next 2 years, we'll be in between 11% to 13% or 14% kind of.
Okay. So facilities are broadly coming out of the exemption around 26-27 time.
Sorry, I did not get you.
So, if I heard correctly, the facilities are coming out of the exemptions in the 26-27 year.
Yes, you are right.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. For one question on biosimilars, you mentioned 100 crore investment every year. So this is all operating expenses, I would assume.
Yes.
So Enzene currently is contributing negatively to your EBITDA by around 100 crores? Or there are?
Yeah, around about that much this year, last year, yes.
Okay. And so what are the key milestones and leap we need to sort of watch out for in terms of, clinical studies, etc.? And this number would remain at 100 crore over the next few years, you think, or it can go up also?
No, I think it can go up. This is just for the next, let's say, couple of years. And if ambition level goes up, and we'll obviously update you all, talk to you all, then this number would be going up. So, sorry, what is the question, Sam? Sorry, your first question was?
What are the key milestones
is that launching in India, so we have launched 3 products and we will be launching a few more. We have already out-licensed some products to European players who have given us good upfront payment. So I think that's the milestone. These milestones already happened. Going forward, I think what we need to track is how does the clinical trials progresses in the US. which is already initiated for a map for the US market. So there we need to be on time and, you know, file it on time. Because, yeah.
So this is for the US filing. So when, you know, have you disclosed the product, if you can give some size and like when you expect the trials to be completed and filing to happen?
Yeah, I think filing would happen around 2024 end, filing would happen around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the molecule, I think we can let you know, it's denosumab.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other question I had on field force, so I think you mentioned about 500 people added last quarter. If I remember historically, you have added like 1,000, 1,200 every year. So this is very high. So are we sort of stepping up, MR addition going forward? And if that is the case, but is there any strategic rationale for doing that?
No, so we are not stepping up. I think we have already added. Hopefully, there's always strategic rationale when we do it. So I think, see, it's the portfolio alignment and how do you make large brands focus and grow and also give space to medium-sized brands to grow. So that's the reason we have done this hire.
Okay. So, I mean, your addition would remain on an average 1,200?
No. We cannot do it like perpetually. You know, we'll reach 100,000. So, of course, we can't do that. But, we also conscious sign of the fact that we do have a lot of people, but at the same time, we had to do it because it was important. So it was very strategic. The chronic portfolio is still around, let's say, one third of acute. So we don't see adding like that much, even close to that number for the next few years every year. I think we are almost saturated. But yes, if there are strategic calls, we might add 200, 300 people in the next few years.
Okay, understood. And just one question on, acquisitions in India. You have restrained from, doing deals in India. But given the kind of base you have, don't you think, Alkem can add value by acquiring brands, even if it is somewhat expensive?
No, great. So, Asan, you're right. See, the issue is, first off, they are expensive and we are not of the mindset that we'll overpay. Second, a lot of times companies are available for acquisition, not just brands. And that leads to some other complications of field force and different culture and things like that. So very rarely is there an opportunity where you can acquire only brands. And whenever that happens, most of the time we see that it's expensive. So I do see your point, Sayan, but I'm not very sure whether, it will work out in our favor in terms of where we already have 9,000 people, 10,000 medical reps. If you go and acquire businesses on the whole, it comes with own sets of medical reps and different cultures and all. It will become a challenge, Sayan. So we'll be cautious, and I'm not sure whether we'll do large deals over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nimesh Mehta with Research Delta Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding the gross margin. I'm a little confused. When I look at the full year gross margin that we discussed so far, more or less they are, in line with what we had last year. And last year also we mentioned about, that the input cost prices are going up and stuff like that. So, what exactly, how exactly is the impact coming, on the gross margin? I'm still not able to understand. Although the gross margin remains the same.
Yeah. Nimesh, you are very right. In fact, in this year, we have a positive of 20 basis points in gross margin. So it's a plus. So let me just give you component and this price deflation, mainly in US, it has impacted. On overall basis, on annual basis, we don't have any significant contribution on account of increase in material cost. Then I'm talking raw material cost or packing material. Yes, in quarter four, if you go, you can see, because whatever procurement we did in the month of November and December, we consumed in
partially in quarter four, and we are going to consume going forward in quarter one or quarter two going forward. So it is going to have impact in 2023. But as far as 22 is concerned, you are very right. Input cost increase is not having any significant impact. And then by way of better product mix and better gross margin, and our gross margin, in fact, there is addition of 20 basis points in that.
Right. So even if we compare the fourth quarter, and I'm comparing YOY, I think that should be the right way. You can correct me if that is not. You know, I don't see, in fact, there is an increase in the gross margin. So what I'm trying to see is that, I mean, every Q4 you have a lower gross margin. So what is changing even in this quarter? Or we need to compare it QOQ?
Nimesh, if you remember Q4 of last year, there was an inventory write-off which has pulled down the gross margins. If you adjust for that, there is a YOY dip in the gross margin YOY.
Right.
Even if you adjust that, compared on full year basis also there is a small dip. Okay, what has helped us this year is the product mix has improved. So last year, FY21, India percentage of sale was 65%. It has gone up to 70%. So, helped by mix, and last year there was this inventory write-off. So if you adjust both, then there is a marginal dip in gross margin because of the inventory or because of the raw material cost. And when you are saying 100 to 150 basis point impact, that is on YOY level FY23 compared to FY22. So if it ended the year at 60.7, we are seeing about 100 to 150 basis point impact on that number on full year basis. So there is a cycle, there is a seasonality across the quarter, and the seasonality is going to remain. And after normalizing the seasonality on YOY basis, it's going to be 150 basis point.
Okay, and this 150 basis point that we are talking about does not consider does not take into consideration the fact that we might have better product mix and better. We also are likely to see good amount of price increase in the domestic market and all of those things, right? Well, that is.
No, we have factored in all those things. So what Dubey sir was saying was, our normal gross margins are around 61-62%. Okay. So this has come down to close to 60. So 59-60 is where we may end in FY23 because of the high raw material cost. And say FY24 onwards, this should go back to 60-61 levels again.
Okay, got it. And lastly, so once again on the same thing, this will also include some. Last year I think you mentioned that we might be launching few low competition products in US. So are we likely to do that, and this margin guidance is net of that as well?
We always hope to launch products with less competition. Ultimately, competition dictates whatever comes through.
Okay, and this margin is net of all those factors, right? Like,
it's a business as usual.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Mathur with HDFC MF. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I just wanted one clarification. Did I hear it right that your U.S. growth guidance for FY23 is 10 to 12%?
Yes, that's right. Revenue.
Okay. So, Alchem has done $320 million in FY22. If I take into account high single-digit erosion, which also you have guided to, the net addition works out to be somewhere around 60-65%, $60-65 million to arrive at a 10% growth. So I'm just trying to understand. I mean, there's a bit of cynicism in me, which kind of says that this seems a bit stretched, this particular guidance. So can you share some key pieces why this upgrade guidance is even achieved?
Sorry, what is the last part? I missed that.
So I'm saying is that this guidance seems a bit aggressive. I mean, 10% growth on a erosion of 8-9%. Are there any specific pieces of why you're so upbeat on the U.S. outlook for FY23?
Well, the entire FY22 was depressed compared to FY21. So, as you can see, we've degrown by 5% in the current year. So now if I'm basically guiding 10 to 12% increase over FY22, in effect, we are only, you know, guiding for a 7% increase over FY21. So we are confident because, number one, as I said, the price erosion, you know, deflation is reduced compared to what we have seen in FY22 as we sit right now. And then number two, of course, we will always hope to do better with our new launches. And as I mentioned earlier, in FY22, we actually did very well compared with our new launches compared to our own performance in the previous fiscals before FY22. We were not able to demonstrate it because of a higher price erosion during the last year.
Okay. And then to achieve this full year number, roughly $88-90 million is the quarterly ask. Would that be visible from first quarter itself, or do you think that it's going to be second half is going to be much better than what we'll deliver in first half of FY23?
Yeah. So no, look, you know, we obviously expect our performance to grow up quarter on quarter. So first quarter, if we are comparing year on year compared to quarter one, yes, I would expect a 10 to 12% increase. And we need to obviously see that coming through before we update our guidance or we update our numbers.
Okay. Okay. Sure. And one slightly larger picture question on India. I mean, it's more than 2 years now since the pandemic. So any thoughts you can share on your expectations on the acute and chronic growth vis-a-vis what it was prior to COVID and developments in trade generics and sales force efficiencies? If you can share some of your updated thoughts on these four segments of key variables for the domestic market versus pre-COVID, what your expectations would be now?
Yeah, so we think that this year the things should almost be normal, you know, to pre-COVID levels. So our growth in acute will sustain. That's what, you know, we just said earlier that this year the growth of acute may be in a range of around 10 to 11% and chronic, you know, those market will grow at around 10 to 11 and we should aim for double the growth of, you know, market in chronic. So around roughly we can say that 10 to 11% growth in acute and around 20 odd percent growth in chronic, you know, so averaging out around 13% for the domestic business. And trade generic, traditionally we have seen a good growth, so we hope they will continue similar trends in the coming year as well.
Sir, I think this helps, but if I may just rephrase my question, has there been any structural change in how you perceive growth for different segments and also how you approach doctors? Things might be a bit more clear now since the last visit had too much of an effect. So I'm looking for a bit more structural thought process on how these variables might play out over a 3 to 5 year period.
No, so see, you just heard me saying that we have already added a lot of people, around 1,000 people in every year, last 2 years. So dude, we don't expect major structural change in our business approach. Yeah, so pre-COVID, so one is structural change in the organization. So our focus areas will remain same. We are not going to dilute from them. And as far as meeting doctors is concerned, we expect that we expect what almost now the meeting customers is to the pre-COVID level. So there's no major change in that. I assume that you're asking about utilization of those digitals and all. So yes, there will be slight, you know, a change towards to reach masses through digital media, and that can be, you know, a little factor. But normally this will go to pre-COVID level with some addition of digital approach in our business.
Got it. So that helps. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sayan Mukherjee with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up again. Just one clarification, Amit, in response to Nikhil's question, you know, which you mentioned, you know, a growth of 10% in quarter one, that would put our U.S. revenues at around $90 million, which is almost $70 million higher than what we are in fourth quarter.
No, so that was compared to FY22. It was not compared to FY21. FY21 was a completely different quarter one, so that's not in relation with that year.
No, I mean, in the first quarter, you know, this quarter, FY23, you know, I thought you mentioned you will deliver a 10% growth on first quarter FY22, which was higher, right? It was around $80 odd million. So you should be closer to $90 million in this quarter if you have to grow 10% on Q1 of FY22.
Right.
That would mean a QOQ growth of almost $17 million, which is a big number.
Right.
73 million. So, I mean, at the mid of this quarter, are you having that visibility of sort of, you know, getting close to 90 million in Q1 FY23?
Yeah. And rather than, you know, getting into absolute numbers, I think Nikhil's question was essentially trying to ask me, is there something during the year that we are depending upon for delivering this growth? That's how I perceived and understood it. And what I wanted to answer there was, and what I answered there was, that we are not dependent on one event or one product or something which will deliver this growth for us. So we need to deliver our growth, whatever that we have talked about, fairly evenly during the year. And therefore, what I answered was that even in quarter one, we are expecting to deliver some growth over, you know, last year's numbers, FY22 numbers. So that's what, please read it in relation with that. Specifics for each quarter, if there are ups and downs, some of it will get corrected. For example, first quarter in FY21, if you remember, was a very high quarter. So obviously that is not a correct number or a correct base to look at.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Gagan for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for attending this call. If any of your queries have remained unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Gagan.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.